I bound hands. Take it, I said.
Lucas held the cloth up to his nose and started muttering some obscenities of his own while the blood began to drip and pool below him. I turned back to Nick. I'm sorry I got us in such a mess.
That's all right. You were just defending yourself. We just need to find a way to escape from these crazy nuts.
He glanced over at Tahoe, who was standing by the wall.
I keep hoping that idiot will have a change of heart and come up with something.
You can't have a change of heart if you don't have a heart in the first place, I whispered.
Right, Nick agreed.
Still, he seems to understand how crazy these people are, I whispered. And he was apparently upset about his children. Maybe he's got a conscience in that thick head of his somewhere.
Well, if you get a chance, try to play that fiddle. He won't listen to me, but he might hear you out.
I'll try, I said under my breath.
The bailiff's voice rose above all the noise.
I sense a presence! Hear that? He's talking!
He screamed, and everyone went silent. Before I had time to wonder what the heck he was talking about, a stick-thin man pointed to the center of the courtroom.
It's Jason, the man said. He's here to see that justice is served.
Jason? The man I killed in self-defense?
Needless to say, the whole thing was giving me the creeps on a whole new scale.
All rise for the great Judge Tomrado,
the bailiff ordered.
Everyone else in the room stood, and all the townspeople and court officials began to chant with him, repeating it over and over again in almost perfect harmony.
The eeriness was unsettling, so much so that I actually preferred their hissing and screaming.
The bailiff turned to us. The shock of the proceedings had left us stunned, so we were still seated. He started to raise his rifle again, still singing with that creepy smile on his face. I quickly stood up, dragging Nick and Lucas to their feet along with me. We waited for the judge to come from behind the bench, but instead, the large doors to the courtroom opened behind us. An older man in a long black robe stepped through. His white hair was wild and stood on end, like that Back to the Future doctor with the time-traveling DeLorean, and as he passed by, he glared coldly at us. When I lowered my eyes, I saw his bare feet. Judge Tornado, or whatever his name was, climbed the steps to his bench and stood behind a dark brown chair. He banged his gavel 3 times, and everyone stopped singing at once.
The Kingsville Court is now in session, cried the bailiff. And Jason has joined us.
The judge sat down, his eyes focused on me.
Everyone, please be seated.
They sat in unison behind us, the whole insane lot of them. Nick, Lucas, and I slowly took our seats, keeping our eyes on the judge as our chains rattled.
We don't have a snowball's chance in hell, I thought with a gulp. And hell is definitely where we are.
Chapter 9. The prosecutor was tall and thin, with bulging eyes and a nervous tic that caused him to constantly twitch, freaking me out all the more. His head twisted and turned at random times, making him look like a bobblehead. I worried that it might actually spin around. Considering how possessed they all acted, it wouldn't have surprised me one bit. Maybe they'll believe us over this weirdo, I hoped, but I knew they wouldn't. After all, he was one of their own kind, and we were the nosy outsiders.
The prosecution calls Jake Jenefson to the witness stand, he said.
One of the punks strolled up to the witness stand and was sworn in. I heard noises coming from behind me, and at first I could have sworn I'd jumped into a seance. I chanced turning around to take a look, and saw women in the far back row lighting dozens of candles along the shelf edge and chanting weird syllables that made absolutely no sense to me.
What did you see today?
The prosecutor's voice jolted me back to attention. Crazy or not, I couldn't understand why the scene in the back didn't distract anyone else.
We were patrolling the area and saw intruders breaking curfew, so we followed protocol. Indeed,
Jake's voice wavered, as if he was horrified to relive the moment.
Two members of their group had broken into the home of Sam Maloney.
Also known as Tahoe the Creep, I thought to myself.
They had terrorized the poor family, so we took off after them.
Unable to take it any more, I stood.
Why don't you tell them you killed an innocent girl, you hot-headed prick?
Nick grabbed my wrist. Sit down. Outbursts aren't going to help. I couldn't understand how my brother managed to stay so calm, cool, and collected under the circumstances. I knew how bad the situation was, but all I wanted to do was scream out and tell them what a bunch of lunatics they were. The judge banged his gavel on the sound block.
Order in the court? Another disruption like that, mister.
He looked at the bailiff.
What are their names?
You don't even know our names, I shouted. How is this justice?
My name is Dean. Dean Walters! I pointed to Lucas.
This is Lucas Meadows.
And then pointed to Nick.
This is Nick Walters, my brother. Your gang shot Claire O'Hara and knifed Jackie Shadows. Someone came at me, and I defended myself.
Another outburst, Mr. Walters, and you'll be taken back to your cell. I won't have any distractions in my courtroom.
He looked at the lying witness and politely urged,
Please continue.
No distractions? Right. There's a trio of women in the back doing their best impression of a satanic ritual, and I can't make a statement in my own defense? I was about to say so, but Nick tugged me down. This time I sat.
Let Jason tell his side of the story,
a woman cried out. But Jason's dead, I whispered.
Don't worry, he'll get his turn.
The judge motioned to Jake.
Please continue.
Jason tried to arrest them, rightfully so, but that fella pulled out a knife. His girlfriend tried to talk him down, and he stabbed her, then lunged for Jason.
He took his gun and shot him in cold blood. He lied, offering a piss-poor performance that wouldn't have fooled anyone. There was no emotion in his voice, and he kept looking at us and smiling. At one point, he actually stuck his tongue out and blew a raspberry like a kindergartner, but the judge either didn't notice or didn't care. When I heard him try to pin Jackie's death on me, I lost it again.
That's a lie! I shouted.
The thought of me ever hurting Jackie pierced my heart. Lucas stood.
That wasn't the way it happened.
His nose had finally stopped bleeding, but there was a nasty-looking puddle on the floor, browning around the edges, already congealing as Lucas spoke, his words mangled by the pain of his nose.
Young man, you will now pay $100 for having the audacity to bleed all over my courtroom,
the judge told him, completely ignoring what Lucas had said.
I shall tolerate no disrespect.
What? Your crazy bailiff busted my nose,
Lucas screamed.
And he already fined us 50.
You do not have permission to bleed in here, in any case,
the insane judge replied, and began writing on a piece of paper. He called over the smiling, singing bailiff and handed the document to him. The bailiff handed it to Lucas. Really, it was nothing official. Just a scrap of paper with fine for bleeding, $100 written across it. As if that homemade ticket wasn't crazy enough, the judge had actually drawn a little smiley face underneath. Lucas rebelliously dropped the paper into the pool of his blood and stared at the bailiff with such an intense hatred that I knew if we did get out of here, that bailiff was going to die painfully.
Where's the justice in this trial?
My brother roared, clearly unable to hold his emotions in any longer.
You're going to listen to a murderer? Somebody who's directly responsible for the death of two innocent girls? What kind of court is this? Your prosecutor looks like a deranged idiot, and the bailiff clearly needs to be in a rubber room and on some very strong medication. On top of that, you, Your Honor, can't even remember to put your shoes on in the morning, yet you fine my friend for bleeding.
Everything in the courtroom stopped, and no one said a word for a moment. The strange women in the back even stopped their quiet chanting. The stenographer stopped typing, and the prosecutor somehow managed to stop his nervous tic. They all just stared at my brother, who was visibly fuming, his nostrils flaring and his chest heaving with every breath he took. It was silent like that for what seemed like eternity. My brother and the judge were caught in a stare down, neither one willing to give way. Then, just as suddenly as it stopped, it started again, except now the insanity multiplied. The women began their chanting again, but others started up with their own nuttiness. A man stood up on the bench and started screaming out a list of all the different ways we could die. A couple near the front started talking to the departed ghost of Jason, asking him questions about the afterlife. The others joined in, as if they were caught in some kind of group hallucination, staring at and conversing with some invisible entity that wasn't even there. It was as if someone had filled the room with nitrous oxide gas, and everyone was off their rockers 10 times more than before. Everyone except for the mayor, stark still, staring at us with those murderous eyes.
"We will talk more to Jason later. Let's continue, shall we? Will the prosecution please call their next witness?"
the judge screamed over all the noise. Nick stared in disbelief and finally sank into his chair. They called up every single man and woman who was in that group that had pulled us over, and we listened to that same well-rehearsed crap story time and time again.
"Very well. I think it's Jason's turn to take the stand,"
the judge said. I looked at Nick, and he just shrugged in defeated disbelief. The courtroom was eerily quiet as Jason supposedly told his story from the witness stand. People nodded their heads and listened intently. To what? I had absolutely no idea. After a moment, the judge dismissed his imaginary witness. "Finally, it's time to give our side of the story," I thought, sighing with a little bit of relief. The judge said,
"I think we've heard enough. The facts have been presented clearly and concisely, backed by evidence and the testimonies of these fine witnesses. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you will now deliberate as to the guilt or innocence of the accused."
The jury began whispering amongst themselves, laughing and smiling as if they were at some social engagement. The judge then spoke to where the ghost of Jason was allegedly sitting.
"Thank you for your testimony. Do not worry, Jason, for justice will be served here today, and you shall rest in peace. I promise you that."
He paused, then nodded his head, as if responding to something Jason was telling him from beyond the grave. "What? I can't believe this crap. We've got no chance whatsoever."
"What about our side?" Lucas shouted. "You're supposed to hear both sides."
"I've heard enough, young man, and I'm glad to see you finally learned your lesson and stopped all that disrespectful bleeding."
I glanced at the jurors, wanting to make a last-ditch effort at telling them my side of the story.
"I'm not a murderer! It was self-defense! They're all lying!"
The prosecutor walked in front of the jurors.
"Jason was an innocent man, trying to defend this town, a town he loved enough to die for. This dangerous gang pulled into our town and broke into the home of an innocent family, without cause."
He pivoted on his heels and twitched again.
"This man," he said, pointing to Lucas, "started shooting like a wild man, killing his own friend Claire. Dean Walters, clearly a madman, killed his girlfriend, then murdered our Jason in cold blood. His brother, Nick Walters, was an accomplice to the entire thing and did nothing to stop it. He only egged his friends on in their murderous rampage. Cold-hearted murder deserves nothing less than the death penalty. For all of them."
The judge nodded in agreement.
"The jury, what say you?"
Needing no further time to discuss our fate, the foreman stood, crossed her arms, peered at us with hatred, and hissed the dreaded words.
"Guilty as charged!"
She sat down and tapped the juror to her left. Taking her cue, the juror did the same, adding a few curse words and insults for good measure. One by one, all 12 of them stood and accused us. In the end, the verdict was unanimous, and it was most definitely not in our favor.
Based on the unanimous decision of our esteemed jury, the evidence presented in this courtroom today and the power vested in me, I thereby sentence you to death. Your execution shall take place at 9 a.m. tomorrow, in a public forum, so that others may learn from your heinous mistakes,
the judge said. A man pointed to the center of the room.
Look, Jason is smiling, he shouted. Justice has been served today in the city of Kingsville.
The courtroom erupted in applause and cheers as the people rejoiced and hugged one another. Meanwhile, my heart dropped to rock bottom. Doom enveloped me like a crushing wave, and I could already feel myself drowning within it.
May God have mercy on your souls, if you have any souls to speak of,
the judge said.
Court is dismissed.
He then scooted out of the courtroom on his bare feet, and everyone hugged and cried, obviously happy with the verdict.
Nick,
I whispered. Hang on, bro. We have a little time to figure out an escape plan.
I always thought a zombie would take me out, not our own kind,
Lucas whispered. I refuse to consider these lunatics my own kind, Nick said.
Well, we can't give up yet, fellas,
Lucas said. You got that right, I said with a nod, though I wasn't sure anything was worth fighting for anymore. Chapter 10. The next morning came quicker than I imagined. The air smelled of morning dew and something sweet that made my stomach churn. It was still early, and the sun was barely up when we were marched out, past a 6-lane track, onto a high school athletic field. The perimeter was completely surrounded by a towering metal fence that reminded me of a prison yard. I could feel the tension and anticipation in the air, and my heart hammered harder with each step the closer we got to the middle of the field. Behind the fence, people stood or sat on benches like football fans, watching as we approached. I squinted to get a better look, but the sun blinded me. I could tell from their yelling and screaming that they weren't right in the head. As we got closer, the blinding sun disappeared behind the clouds, and I finally managed to catch a glimpse of the drama unfolding around us. We were the only ones on the field, but the bleachers were filled with townspeople, yelling and screaming obscenities at us. Some of the onlookers were clawing at their faces, and others were rocking back and forth, screeching and howling for our blood. For one brief second, I was glad there was a fence. I had no idea how they planned to kill us. I figured they'd simply gun us down, or maybe all start shooting at us from the stands. At least it'll be quick that way, I reasoned. Then again, maybe they've got something far worse in mind. I cringed at the thought. I nudged Nick. A firing squad? They're really going to massacre us, aren't they?
I have no idea what these freaks are up to.
You people are sick,
Lucas shouted, as if it would help. An intercom crackled to life and echoed over the field. I covered my ears to muffle the sound, until it was replaced with a loud voice.
Welcome, my people! I hope you're all ready for a show. Today, these three degenerates will pay the ultimate price for the heartless butchering of our beloved hero, our Jason, defender of our great new civilization.
The crowd cheered in some sections and continued their bloodthirsty cries in others. I just stood my ground on shaky legs and swallowed back the rising bile. Lucas threw me a worried glance. Crap, he muttered. I gazed down at my shaking legs and noticed that the turf below me was covered in dried blood. My heart lurched. We weren't going to be the first, and I was sure we wouldn't be the last to face a horrible fate.
By the authority vested in me as the mayor of this great new city, let the execution begin!
The voice howled over the loudspeaker. The words made me shudder all over. We'd definitely been taken there to die, and I hurriedly, instinctively scanned my surroundings, desperately looking for a way to escape. We could have made a run for it and tried to hop the towering fence covered with spiked barbs if it weren't for the guards standing there with their big guns, locked, loaded, and at the ready. I had no doubt they'd shoot us before we'd even get the chance to jump over. Running back the way we came was also not an option. The bullets would outrun us, whichever direction we'd tried to retreat. Suddenly, a familiar stench wafted into the air, immediately followed by loud, angry grunts coming from behind us. Operating on instinct, I grabbed Nick's arm and spun around to find three figures stumbling toward us. They were distastefully familiar, in the way that we'd all come to know and fear. The living dead were coming for us. Three against three. One on one. Chapter 11.
Nick! I uttered in amazement. They're not gonna shoot us! This is some kind of zombie fight club!
Now we know why they've been bringing zombies into the city, Nick said sullenly. They're gladiators.
Yeah, your theory on experimental testing of strangers was way off, Lucas said.
Nick nodded. They aren't trying to save the human race. This is just the next evolution of the Colosseum.
And the missing people, Lucas muttered in shock. The outsiders. They must have been...
Yeah, Nick said through gritted teeth. They were just the nightly entertainment.
No! I screamed at the top of my lungs. You can't do this! This is so... inhumane! You're all being affected by the contaminated drinking water! Don't you see? Please don't do this!
What kind of sick game is this?
Lucas muttered, his hands clenched to fists as he yelled up.
We have no weapons! We don't have a fighting chance against you or those things! Let us go!
It's not a game, Nick spoke softly. There will be no winner, only losers. We're here for some sick, twisted fantasy execution, like the Christians being fed to the lions back in ancient Rome.
Lucas made a fist, as if mentally preparing himself for battle.
This is what happens when humans lose sight of their humanity. We need weapons!
You really think they're going to hand us a chainsaw? I asked.
No, but we need to find something, and quick!
Like what, Lucas? I asked sarcastically.
Anything that will pierce, hack, cut, or explode will do nicely, Lucas said, ignoring my cynicism.
His eyes remained glued on the zombies, moving ever closer, ready to close in on us at any second.
In case you haven't noticed, there's nothing around, Nick said, and I doubt they're going to give us an arsenal to work with. That would only destroy their fun.
The zombies don't have brains, I said. Luckily, we do. We just have to outthink them. Three zombies? I thought. That's manageable. Yeah, we can handle that. We fought off far more, I reasoned, suddenly feeling naively hopeful.
I'll take the hag in the green dress.
I called dibs on Officer Deadhead, Nick said, noticing the tattered uniform of the middle zombie. Lucas, can you manage the chicken purple?
Love me a chick in a form-fitting jumpsuit, Lucas said.
I tuned out to focus on my target. The rotting lady in the green halter dress sneered and growled as she moved toward me. The left side of her face, from cheek to throat, had been ripped away. I had nothing for a weapon but my wits. That and a wicked roundhouse kick. The decomposing woman half staggered toward me. She seemed to be limping worse than the others, and I soon saw why. She was still wearing one high heel. The other shoe dragged along on the ground behind her, still looped around her ankle. I wanted to get my hands on those stilettos, not because they matched my outfit, but because they'd make for a spiky weapon in lieu of anything else. As she came closer, I took a running leap and drop-kicked her in the center of the chest, sending her somersaulting backward into the grass, with a stupefied look on what was left of her hideous face. I ripped the high heels from her ankles and proceeded to pound one right through her eye, and she stopped moving.
Lucas,
I said, throwing him the other heel.
Here!
He used the fashionable footwear to take down the lady in the purple jumpsuit in one quick blow.
"Shoes are a girl's best friend, you know," he yelled as she tumbled to the ground in a stinking, lifeless heap. Now came the part I hated. If I wanted to use the heel again, I knew I'd have to pull it out of the lady's decaying face. I heard Nick cheer from behind me.
"The police dude still has his revolver! The idiots didn't disarm him!"
I turned to see the policeman writhing on the ground, grasping his mutilated hands at Nick's legs. Nick put both hands around the revolver, centered his aim, and squeezed off his shot. The policeman's brains seemed to explode from the back of his head, painting the field in a fresh coat of gore. Nick spun around, keeping the gun at head level. There was no time for celebration, however, as another squad of undead goons had been released and were heading our way.
"Guys?" Lucas shouted. "I don't think they're going to stop sending these things until we're dead."
"Well, they best not hold their breath," Nick shouted with a laugh as he took aim at the oncoming horde. Three more surrounded me, and I knew then that it wasn't going to end. They were going to keep sending zombies out until we were dead, just like Lucas said, the sick freaks. They shouted and cheered the zombies on, and I couldn't believe it. What happened to the America I believed in, the one my brother and Lucas fought for? I assumed a combat fighting stance and immediately went for the closest zombie. He had scraggly red hair and was missing his right arm. He was also shirtless and flat out nasty. I wanted to gag at the missing chunks of skin that had left a hole in his bulbous stomach. Ropes of intestines dangled and dragged behind him with every lumbering step. With my left hand open and palm out, I struck him hard in the nose, sending the shattered bone up into the thing's brain. The creature slumped to the ground, releasing a sickening, unforgettable gurgle from his throat. Spinning around as fast as I could, I delivered a vicious sidekick to the head of some tattooed skinhead who had a gaping hole where his nose used to be, sending him reeling into the grass. Then I rushed the third zombie, a naked, elderly woman who was missing so much flesh from her physique that it was difficult to tell she was once female. I hit her with another palm strike directly to the face, but that only knocked her down on her back. I brought my foot down hard on the back of her skull and felt it give way as the heel of my boot sank into the slippery goo of her brain matter. I then turned back to the skinhead, who was still rolling around on the grass like a turtle caught on its back. With a crunch, I sank the high heel deep in its skull, but the heel snapped off of the shoe from the blow, which wasn't good at all since it was my only weapon. Another member of the rotted masses caught me by surprise and managed to grab a fistful of my hair. I quickly reached up behind me, clasped the thing's wrist, and ducked backward, while twisting the man's arm up behind him. I released his twisted arm just long enough to grab the top of his head with one hand, and then his jaw with the other. Then immediately wrenched his neck hard to the right, causing the thing to collapse to the blood-soaked turf. I didn't like hand-to-hand combat, because there was always the risk of infection, but I was fresh out of options. Shots echoed around us, and I turned just in time to see Nick kill a number of zombies, one by one. The bad thing was, his ammo wasn't going to last, and we had no real weapons. A horrible thought came into my head as I stared at one of the zombies' decomposing legs. Sometimes you have to be creative and use whatever tricks you've got up your sleeves to tip the scales in your favor. The leg was pretty much rotted to the point of falling off the unmoving ghoul. His entire femur was exposed, gleaming white in the morning sun. I gazed around, only now noticing that all three zombies had been maintenance workers. I ran over to one of them and retrieved a pair of thick leather gloves from his pocket. The other two had the same gloves, so I assumed they must have been on the job when things turned ugly. They were certainly the most decomposed of the dead I'd seen. I slipped on the gloves and prepared to perform one of the most repulsive acts of my life, out of absolute necessity, of course. Sucking in a deep breath, I reached for my gleaming white prize and easily wrenched the loose bone out. I nearly vomited, but it didn't matter. Now I had a real weapon. I choked up on the femur like it was a Louisville slugger and proceeded to raise it high and pointed to the crowd of stunned and confused townspeople like I was Babe Ruth, about to send one more over the fence. "Nick, Lucas, we can use the bones," I said. Nick glanced over,
Dude, that's just sick.
I don't care. We either fight or crawl into a fetal position and hope they mistake us for a football.
You didn't let me finish, my brother said. It's sick, gross, and insane, but it's brilliant. Stephen King himself couldn't have come up with something that twisted.
I ain't putting my hands inside one of those things, Lucas barked.
I don't want to risk contamination.
I pointed down to the gloves on another worker.
It's do or die time, Lucas. Glove up and start swinging, man.
Lucas smiled and rushed over.
Swig batter, batter, he shouted, pumping me up as I stared straight ahead into the zombie-infested battlefield.
Hold up! I've got an idea, he shouted.
Lay it on us, Nick yelled back.
Remember that firefight in Fallujah?
Lucas asked.
We were pinned down behind those dead insurgents, and I started stacking the bodies on top of one another to create a bunker so we could return fire.
Speaking of sick and twisted, Nick said through a smirk.
We keep knocking them out and create a wall of sorts, layer and layers of dead zombies. They'll try to climb over it and just fall flat on their faces. That's when we bash their brains in.
I love it, I shouted. They're definitely too stupid to walk around, and we know they can't climb. Nick clapped Lucas on the shoulder.
I like it.
We stood side by side as the next wave of undead came streaming across the field. A rotted skater boy wearing knee pads, elbow pads, and a red helmet limped toward me, and I swung the femur with the speed of a lightweight bat. The sound seemed to reverberate throughout the field. I watched him tumble forward, then tore off his helmet and brought my boot heel down hard on his head. I had never even killed a fly before this zombie thing had ever happened. And there I was, going all gladiator, as I bashed in the skulls of one zombie after another. An ocean of emotions flooded through me. I was proud that I was fighting back, yet angry that I was forced to kill people whom I was sure I could eventually save. The booing crowd fueled my rage even more. It was kill or be killed, and I didn't plan to die anytime soon. Feeling like I could breathe fire and smoke, I whacked another softball-sized dent into another zombie's head. Have I become a cold-killing machine like Nick and Lucas? I didn't want to be that person, but I couldn't stop. I had to keep fighting, or I was good as dead. How long can we keep fighting them? All I knew was that adrenaline was still pumping strong through every vein and artery, and I had to kill anything coming at me. I had become heartless, and I couldn't turn it off. Chapter 12. A long line of zombie carcasses began to form as I slugged away and Nick and Lucas stacked. When I got tired of swinging, we reversed roles. Lucas's plan worked brilliantly as the mindless horde began to tumble over the giant pile. Others just kept walking into the pile over and over again, too stupid to know that all they had to do was walk around. I brought the gore-streaked femur down on yet another rotting face, but a sudden piercing pain exploded in my back. I spun around and ducked as a beer bottle whizzed past my head. I looked up at the townspeople in awe and hatred.
You pathetic jerks! You're actually rooting for zombies over humankind? How much killing do you need to see before you determine enough is enough?
Of course, my rant fell on deaf ears. I shouldn't have expected anything else from the raving lunatics. It was then that a large group of townspeople walked onto the field. I thought about charging and grabbing one of them for leverage, but they pointed their guns at us. A femur, a couple of shoe heels, and an empty pistol were no match for the armed posse. One group pointed guns at us, while the other cleared a pathway for the zombies. And I couldn't freaking believe it.
Nick, they're making an opening for them, I yelled.
How is this even fair? Lucas screamed in our captors' faces. We gonna make it fair,
one of the men promised. Another nudged him in laughter.
Yeah, we're gonna put another player on your team. She's a tough one, too. I'm sure you'll find her useful.
Shouts from behind our captors made me look. A tall man carried a screaming woman over his shoulders. He set the lady down and shoved her toward us.
Here you go,
he said, as if he was delivering some package we'd ordered. My eyes flickered in recognition at Kate, the girl who'd been passing out the missing flyers when we first arrived. We had talked to her by the barbed wire fence when military trucks came, and she darted off to hide. I hadn't seen her since. Her black jeans and white sweater were crumbled and ripped, her blonde hair in disarray. Her face was bruised, and there was blood oozing from her swollen lip. I held my hand out to her, but she didn't reach for it. She met my gaze as shock and confusion washed over my face.
"You ought to know what happened to your sister," the man snapped. "Well, now you know, and you can die with closure."
"You heartless jerk!"
Kate yelled, spinning around and lunging at them. Nick pulled her back just as the guy prepared to hit her with the butt of his rifle. "Getting knocked out isn't going to help you one tiny bit out here," he said. "Save that energy for what we're about to face." She broke free from Nick and nodded. As quickly as the men had come out, they scurried away through the entrance and locked it behind them so we couldn't follow.
"This is absolutely ludicrous," Kate said.
"My thoughts exactly. If I somehow survive this ordeal, I don't think a living soul would believe me."
"They made me watch you take down those zombies," Kate said, her voice wavering. "Who does that kind of thing?"
I wanted to give her words of encouragement, but nothing I could say would alleviate the situation, and there wasn't any time to make anything up. I clapped her shoulder.
"Can you fight?"
"Heck yeah,"
she responded.
"Good, because we're gonna need you."
She wiped the blood from her lip with the sleeve of her sweater.
"Are you okay?" Lucas asked.
"They made me battle a few zombies for practice, so I'd be prepared for the game. At the time, I had no idea what they were talking about, but I was pretty sure they weren't talking about Monopoly."
I shook my head. "They're flipping crazy." She stared up at the crowd in the stands.
"I swear, I'm gonna make them all pay for killing my sister."
"You and me both,"
Nick said. "They killed our friends, the girls traveling with us."
"So sorry for your loss,"
Kate said, over the yells and murmurs of the crowd around us.
"I hate those murderers. They're worse than the zombies."
I nodded, knowing how she felt. The pain of seeing Jackie and Claire murdered right before my very eyes was almost too much to take.
"Wait, I just thought of something."
Nick frantically felt through his pockets. "Didn't you hand me a vial back at Tahoe's house?" My eyebrows shot up.
"Yeah, I did. I completely forgot about that." "Me too," he said.
"How much of the cure will we need for it to make it work?"
"The doc said just a drop. It's apparently very potent."
"Do you have it?" Lucas asked. Nick pulled out a small, clear container filled with fluid, and my jaw dropped in disbelief. Unbelievably, the plastic vial was still there, after I'd given it to him back at Tahoe's house. He'd never returned it to me in all the drama that followed, and I'd completely forgotten about it.
We all had. It was so small of a vial that the police had missed it when they'd frisked him for weapons.
"Yes!"
I exclaimed. I couldn't believe he held it in his hands.
"Where did you get that?"
Kate asked, her eyes wide.
"Is it poison?"
"Long story," Nick said. "And no, it's not poison."
The crowd suddenly cheered, chanted, and howled with delight as more of their undead heroes began flooding through the gate on the other side of the field.
Will this nightmare never end? I wondered.
I stared straight ahead at the approaching zombies, their moans and hisses filling the air. My adrenaline surged as I prepared to fight. My rage and anger were exactly what I needed to survive, and we would have to fight with everything we had.
"What's the plan?"
Kate asked, her eyes focused ahead on impending doom.
"I'll hold them off at the breach, and try not to let them pass more than one at a time,"
Lucas said. Nick nodded.
"Kate and I will hold them down. Dean, you get a drop into their mouths."
It would be easier said than done, but at that point, I was ready to try anything.
"Okay," I said, grabbing the vial.
Lucas immediately went to work on the undead horde. One by one, the mass of rotting people were kicked to the ground. Before he'd stomped the brains out of one, he was already tossing the next to the ground. He stopped the first four from clearing the breach, but the fifth zombie tumbled past him and came right for us. I kept my eyes on the shambling female. Her stomach had been torn open, emptied of all its contents. Clearly, she'd once been a beautiful woman with blonde hair and legs that went on forever. Now, she was nothing more than a mindless death machine in a torn white blouse and black slacks. Nick threw her to the ground in one swift move and held her down. It was easy to give her the formula with her mouth wide open and snapping. I waited until her mouth snapped open, then I allowed one drop to fall straight into the back of her throat. She hissed through gritted teeth, and then her milky white eyes fluttered closed. White foam poured out of her mouth as her body went limp, and I wondered if the formula had killed her. Oh no, it didn't work, I thought. My heart lurched as I came to the realization that there was no hope for Val, that there never had been. It doesn't work, I screamed.
Maybe it won't heal him, but it sure kills him pretty fast, Nick said. Let another one through.
We repeated the process time and time again, creating a big pile of corpses. I was sure that at any moment, they'd send in armed police to take the vial from us.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the announcer said over the loudspeakers,
they seem to have found something to kill the zombies. This could be an excellent tool in our struggle against the plague walkers. We've agreed to let the games continue. We're very curious to see how this plays out.
You monsters, I shouted.
Lucas continued to pummel the zombies into submission, occasionally letting the next straggler through. The next walking corpse began shuffling toward us, and my eyes widened when I saw a face I could never forget. A cold chill shot through me.
It's Val, I said.
Nick met my gaze.
I know. Let's end this. She didn't want to be like this, and I promised her I'd take care of it if it ever happened.
I nodded, unable to form the words as the tears welled up in my eyes. She was still wearing the same outfit, and her black hair swayed in the wind as she shuffled forward. There was no depth to her white eyes, glazed into an impenetrable fog. Her jaw snapped and bit at the air in some horrible rhythm, filling me with absolute hopelessness and terror. Kate thrust her to the ground as Nick looked up at me.
Ready?
He asked. I hesitated, my knees locked in place.
Do it!
Nick shouted. I crouched over her and lifted the vial to her lips. A tear slid from my chin and splashed against her forehead at the same moment the droplet tumbled from the lip of the vial into her mouth. I watched as she took her last breath. My chest tightened, and a lump lodged in my throat. Watching her die, again, was the most painful thing I'd ever done in my entire life.
Don't stop! Kate yelled. Keep going!
For a moment, everything around me froze. I ignored the sounds of skulls shattering apart, the growling and snarling coming from the approaching mob, and the screams of the bloodthirsty crowd. I focused solely on my sister and leaned down and kissed her gently on the forehead.
I love you, Val.
Slipping my arms under her lifeless body, I lifted her from the blood-soaked grass. I found an untouched patch away from the other dead and laid her gently on the ground. I touched her cheek and said a quick prayer. Knowing she was in a better place was the only thing that kept me from completely losing it. I wanted to destroy something, anything. I wanted to scream. I wanted to cry. I wanted to claw my own eyes out.
Dean!
Lucas shouted, snapping me back to reality as the next creature limped toward us. Each zombie that made it past Lucas's own personal Thunderdome was subsequently laid out hard on the field by Nick, then put down with another drop from my vial. I'd lost count of our tally when I looked up and saw Claire.
Just do it, Nick said. She wouldn't want to be left like this.
I did it, but I hated serving as her executioner. As her mouth filled with foam and her twitching ceased, I wondered if I would ever be the same after what I'd been forced to do that day. We continued on for what seemed an eternity. After a while, I tried to tell myself that the vial was much more humane than piercing their skulls with a hammer, a pickaxe, or a heel from a shoe. I knew if I ever became a zombie, that would be the way I wanted to go. Peaceful. Almost like going to sleep. I sucked in a trembling breath as Jackie came through. Her glazed-over eyes didn't recognize me. I wanted to hold her in my arms and tell her everything was going to be okay, but I knew that would have been a lie. It was time to put her gently to sleep. My heart ached, but I knew it was the right thing to do. She wouldn't have wanted to live like that either. No one would. Nick and Kate wrestled her to the ground, and I held the vial over her mouth. "I'm so sorry, Jackie. Please forgive me." She snapped at me as I let the drop fall. I watched her white eyes close, and then I laid her next to Val and Claire. I yanked off my class ring and slipped it gently onto her finger, though I wasn't sure why. I guess I wanted her to have something from me. I vowed that one day I would find her loved ones and tell them what had happened and how brave she had been through it all. I'd only known her a short time, but she touched my heart in a way I could never explain. I imagined her smiling down from heaven, with a radiant light surrounding her, and I remembered our kiss. "Goodbye, Jackie," I said softly, as I turned my back on her, wishing I'd had a chance to give her, Claire, and Val a proper burial. It didn't matter, though. I was pretty sure I'd be with them soon. I wanted to stay strong, but I didn't want to delude myself either.
"That's it," Lucas yelled. "We got 'em all."
"Unless they send more," Nick said. "I hope not." I looked at the crowd of zombies I'd just euthanized, and something caught my eye. A leg twitched, and an arm moved, and then there was a hiss. One stood and my jaw dropped. Others soon started to follow. I shot Nick and Lucas a look.
"It didn't kill them! It just put them out for a few minutes,"
I said as I backed away from the rising dead. Nick let out a heavy sigh.
"I don't believe it."
"No way!"
Lucas yelled in anger and disbelief.
"No frickin' way, man!"
"Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like their little plan backfired," said the announcer.